She'll probably be trying to get out. But Madison, she's having fun, living an old-time radio life. Our explanation is done.
Madison is on the air.
Petri Wine brings you the new adventures of Sherlock Holmes. And now for our weekly doctor's visit. Let's see if Dr. Watson is expecting us.
You know, I always expect you this time on Monday evenings, my boy. So draw up your usual chair and settle down.
Thank you, Doctor.
Harry! Harry! You out here on the patio? Oh, he's gotta be around here somewhere. It's May, and we always do our Sherlock episode in May.
All alone this evening, Doctor?
Alone? Why, whatever do you mean?
I wonder if he won't be here this year. He's not the sponsor dude for Petri Wines anymore. And he was kind of perturbed at me last year.
I meant, where are the puppies, Doctor?
Oh, yes, of course. They're out on the patio.
Harry! Harry?
The dogs had a most unfortunate encounter on the beach this afternoon.
Oh, gee, what is that smell?
Encounter? What kind of an encounter?
With a dead seal, I'm afraid. In consequence, they are a little, well, malodorous, shall we say.
Jeez, dog! Ugh. What did you roll in? Oh, gag! You're making my false eyelashes melt!
In that case, Doctor, perhaps we better change the subject. So, suppose I ask you about tonight's new Sherlock Holmes adventure.
I gotta get out of here and find Harry.
Well, my boy, the story takes place in the dark alleys of Limehouse.
Ew! Come on, you nasty dogs! Get off me! Yeah.
It was there on a foggy December evening in 1890 that my story began. At about 5 o'clock on that December evening, in a vile alley called Upper Swandam Lane. The distant moans of the riverboats called out while footsteps echoed
through the empty cobblestone streets. Suddenly I saw a steep flight of steps leading down to a black gap, like the mouth of a cave. I walked down. The steps were worn hollow in the center by the ceaseless tread of stumbling feet. I reached the bottom. A door faced me, and above it, a flickering oil lamp winked warnings at me. I found the latch and lifted it. The door squeaked open protestingly, and I entered. OMG! This place smells worse than Watson's dogs! Whoa, low ceiling! Ugh, this room is full of smoke! What is this, a hipster hookah lounge?
Please, this way.
Hang on a minute. My eyes are still adjusting. Why are all these people laying around in weird positions? Oh, is this a yoga class? The smoke is like incense, right? Congrats! You found something that smells worse than patchouli.
Please, quiet. There is room. This way.
Why is everybody laying in bunk beds? Weird. Still gotta be better than goat yoga. Paid $100 to have a goat stand on my back during child's pose and poop down my yoga pants.
Here.
You want me to get into that stanky bed? I'm not laying on whatever bodily fluids are festering on those sheets.
Then you leave.
Chill, dude. I'm looking for someone.
He not here.
I didn't even tell you who I was looking for.
He not here either.
Well, maybe I should look around a little.
You must not disturb the pace.
Miss, for heaven's sake, get me out of here.
Ew, let go of my jacket. The boils on your neck look like they're about to erupt.
Please, you leave now.
Help me, miss. Don't say you won't help me. I'll go straight this time, I will. Cross me up.
Boy, you're taking me back to my college days. Okay, I don't see Harry, so I figure I should pay it forward. Come on, let's go.
Oh, bless you, miss.
You cannot take him away. He owe me money.
That's a bleeding lie. I paid him when I came in, I did.
He cannot go with you.
Dude, I don't know what you got going on in here, but I've got a really big mouth and no problem talking. I'm not going to say I'm the only reason the men's lacrosse team was expelled, but they did learn that there were consequences to their off-field actions. Damn it!
Oh, thank you, miss. I've been dead to you, I am.
Okay, we're outside. You can let go of me now. And a little bit of advice from someone who's been there? Eat something before you pass out. You'll feel better in the morning. Or choke on your own vomit. Lay on your side when you sleep.
A wealth of advice, Madison, but not quite necessary. Although, I could stand to have a meal.
Sherlock?
I'm very glad to see you again. What brought you to that filthy den of iniquity?
Den of what now?
Iniquity. Immorality? Ugh. Opium. It's an opium den.
Dude, that was an opium den? Oh, God. You don't think I'm gonna get a contact high and start hallucinating, do you? I did shrooms, like, once, and apparently he spent 5 hours talking to a Bob's Big Boy statue. He really understood me, you know?
If you didn't realize it was an opium den, what brought you here?
I was looking for someone. A friend.
You were looking for a friend, and I was looking for an enemy.
Oh, you were looking for someone, huh? And this whole ensemble is what you wear when you go looking for someone?
This is a disguise, so I could be free to observe the patronage of the opium den without raising suspicion.
Come on, Sherlock. Everyone knows about you and your opium addiction.
I'll have you know, I only indulge in cocaine.
Oh, yeah, that's much better.
I truly do desire a meal. How about we find a chop house, and if you'll indulge me, I'll tell you the full story.
Chop house? Please tell me they don't only serve meat.
An excellent meal, Madison.
So, apparently they do only serve meat. In that chop houses only serve men.
You've always been eager to wear a disguise. I feel my opium addict attire suits you. But do try to lower your voice. Your distinct, high register will surely give you away.
Yeah, my voice is annoying. You're not the first guy to tell me that. Although you are the first guy to say it without hiding behind a fake name and an avatar.
Shall I tell you the story of what brought me to the opium den?
Go for it. It's gonna take me about 7 years to digest this meat pie.
Well, you see, Madison, I'm shadowing a most unusual criminal. A man who haunts the opium dens, yet I know that he himself is not an addict.
Doesn't sound like he's doing anything criminal. Unless he's secretly taking compromising photos that he'll use later for blackmail. Don't ask me how I know.
What fascinates me is this man pretends to be an addict. I've watched him closely. He fakes his smoking, and grease paint has enabled him to simulate the characteristic of a parlor of a drug victim. He even affects the typical mannerism of nose scratching, but it's his eyes that give him away.
What about his eyes?
The pupils are wide open, whereas if he were really addicted to the drug, they would be contracted.
Like yours are right now, Mr. I didn't inhale.
I always treat my eyes with a special kind of drop on the occasion when I have to enter these dens.
You do the drops beforehand? I always did the drops after. Visine, it gets the red out. So your parents can't tell you're baked.
This puzzle why a man would haunt an opium den in order not to smoke intrigues me.
Although, my giggling for 15 minutes straight usually gave it away.
He's not a policeman or private detective. I've already checked on these possibilities.
OMG, this one time, I tried to explain that I'd heard this really funny joke, and I tried to tell it to them. Knock, knock. Who's there? Cat. Cat who? And I just lost it.
Madison, I believe there is only one answer. I believe the man is planning a murder.
Wait, murder? This guy you've been looking for isn't a client?
No, I told you I was intrigued to investigate why this man was frequenting opium dens if he were not an addict.
Which means in order for you to have seen him in the opium dens, you would have had to first be in the opium dens. For what reason? And don't tell me peer pressure.
Why I was in the opium dens to begin with is of no circumstance to this case. Although, your rather flimsy excuse for being there, searching for a friend, I believe, might require further investigation.
Oh my God, Harry! I still haven't found Harry!
Well, perhaps we can both help each other. Let's head back to Baker Street.
Okay, but let's take one of those hansom cabs. That meat pie is sitting in my gut like a boulder the size of something Fred Flintstone might dig up at the quarry. You know, like that side of ribs that makes his car fall over? Boy, I'm gonna need a vegan flush after this.
So,
So you followed your friend, Harry, is it? To the Limehouse Opium Den. Do you believe he may be an addict?
I don't know what led me there, but he has had trouble with alcoholism. Maybe he's moved on to harder stuff. He is very weak-minded. He let me drag him into things when he really should have known better.
The temptation of opium has led many a man astray, and I believe the man I have been following is tempted to use the opium den as a setting for murder.
I'm not questioning your logic, because, you know, you're Sherlock, but how are you jumping right to murder on this?
Elementary. The would-be victim is an addict. Under the influence, he'd be drugged and helpless. Witnesses in the establishment are in an equal state of befuddlement, and the proprietor is anxious to cover up the crime because of the police.
Do you know who the victim is?
No. As of this moment, I have yet to discover the identity of the murderer. Oh, confound it. Who can that be?
Should I go get it?
No, no. Mrs. Hudson will see to it.
Well, if somebody's coming up here, I think I should change out of this disguise you put me in. Your authenticity extending to B.O. is impressive, but the fumes are starting to make me dizzy.
That'll have to wait, Madison. Come in. Yes, Mrs. Hudson.
It's a gentleman, sir. He gave me this card, says he's very anxious to see you.
Wayne J. Chumley, President Chumley Corporation in Bristol. Ask him to come in, will you, Mrs. Hudson?
Aye, sir. And your comrade, sir, will he be staying?
Indeed.
Right then, I'll see to your visitor.
Comrade? Do I really look like a dude in this getup?
Not when examined with any scrutiny, but because your appearance is that of a vagrant, polite society quickly turns away, uncomfortable to gaze upon you for more than a few seconds.
And I'm sure the B.O. helps.
Undoubtedly.
This way, sir.
Thank you.
How do you do, Mr. Chumley?
You are Sherlock Holmes.
You guessed correctly, sir. Excuse me. Oh, Mrs. Hudson, just a moment.
Hi, Mr. Holmes.
Have a seat, Governor.
You're a... associate of Mr. Holmes?
Yes, known him for years. He gave me the clothes off his back, he did.
Oh, is that right? And you are...
Monty. Monty Python.
Unusual last name.
I have a flying circus.
Thank you for your patience. Now, Mr. Chumley, may I ask what brings you here?
I'll talk fast and to the point. I'm a businessman. I like to do things in a business way. I have a chance to control the guano deposits in the Republic of San Pedro.
Did you say guano deposits?
Yes.
Guano as in batshit?
The excrement from various Chiroptera species is considered highly valuable in the production of fertilizer.
That's right. And the minister from San Pedro will be in London tomorrow. If it weren't for one thing, I know that I could swing the deal and get the concession.
And what is that one thing, Mr. Chumley?
The deal is supposed to be secret. I thought no one knew about it. However, when I got here, I discovered that my biggest business rival has gotten wind of it.
I would not want to be downwind of Guano.
He's an American. I've never met him, but he's arrived here in London.
Just what you wished me to do, Mr. Chumley?
Get this rival of mine and keep him out of circulation for a week. I don't care how you do it. In a week's time, I'll give you the other half of this £500.
£500 of guano? What's the street value on that?
Here are your hat and gloves. Goodbye, sir.
What are you doing? Throwing me out?
I can't think where you gathered the impression that I indulged in kidnapping. Once again, goodbye, sir.
Good luck with the poop.
You are not how I imagined you, sir. Giving your time to this vagrant whilst refusing a well-paying client. This is the last you'll see of me, Mr. Holmes.
Life is full of little consolations.
I don't think he needs to buy any poop. He's clearly full of it.
Madison, the game's afoot. Mr. Chumley is the man I've been seeking, the man who pretends to be an opium smoker.
Should we go grab him or something?
No, no, no. Don't worry. I've already arranged for that.
You did?
When I left the room just now to talk to Mrs. Hudson, I was intending to tell her to summon some of my band of street urchins, you know, the Baker Street irregulars, when she informed me that half a dozen of them were in the kitchen at this very moment, partaking in one of her incomparable steak and kidney pies. The rest should be obvious.
The rest should be obvious? I need a translator for the first part.
I left instructions for one of my loyal boys to shadow Mr. Chumley when he left here.
Ah, you got a street gang of spies, huh? Bunch of little artful dodgers running around?
If that descriptor aids your comprehension, then yes.
Is Poop Dude back?
No, I think not. I should say that at the moment he's just about to walk out the front door. No, I think we shall have another visitor.
What are you doing here? What about you?
And judging by the commotion, the incoming and the outgoing visitors know each other and are not on the best of terms.
I haven't heard a heated fight like that since I got thrown out of my nephew's hockey game. But to be fair, that 8-year-old started it.
Here comes Mrs. Hudson to tell us about it. Yes, come in.
Oh, Mr. Holmes, you've got another visitor.
So I gathered, Mrs. Hudson. You gave my instructions to one of the boys?
I did that, sir. Young Wiggins is going to follow the gentleman.
Mrs. Hudson, what was that fight about? Was that little Susie girl cross-checking again?
Oh, it was the two gentlemen shouting at each other. Him that was leaving and the one that was waiting on the doorstep.
And who is our new visitor, Mrs. Hudson?
Oh, yeah, here's his card.
Thank you. Harry Bartell.
What? Harry?
You know this chap?
He's the guy I've been looking for.
Well, it seems all roads lead to Baker Street. Ask him to come up, will you, Mrs. Hudson?
Very well, Mr. Holmes.
Oh, one thing more.
Yes, sir?
Please instruct another of the Baker Street irregulars to follow this Harry Bartell when he leaves here and report to me.
All right, sir.
You don't need to have Harry followed. I'm going to talk to him.
I think not, Madison. Somehow your Harry is tied in with this Mr. Chumley. He may even be the intended victim. It's best you remain disguised until we learn more.
Yeah, okay.
Be sure to look at the condition of his eyes.
Oh, Harry, how far you've fallen.
Come in. Good evening, Mr. Bartell.
Good evening, Mr. Holmes.
This is my colleague.
Monty Python.
Monty Python.
It's a family name.
I see. Nice to meet you. Who was that who just left here?
Won't you sit down, sir?
No, thank you. I don't want to sit down. All right. You don't have to answer my question, but I know it was my rival. I've never met him, but I've seen his picture in the newspaper.
Very well then, sir. Your guess is correct.
I know why he came to you. He's trying to get me out of the way while he closes that deal on the San Pedro Guano concession.
Harry, have you sunk so low that you're dealing in poop?
Pardon?
What Mr. Python is interested in learning about you, sir, is how you came to be dealing in guano. You're American, are you not?
Yes, I am. I was given an opportunity to work for my former employer.
Petri Wine?
Yes. You know it?
Do you know it, Mr. Python?
Yeah, governor. Drink it down at the pub with all me mates.
Please, Mr. Holmes, you've got to be on my side. If I don't acquire that fertilizer deal, they'll fire me again.
And how do you propose I help you, sir?
Whatever fee he offered you to dispose of me, I'll double it if you'll take care of him for a few days.
Oh, dear me, this is becoming monotonous.
You can help him, can't you, governor?
Although you have an affinity for his company's product, Mr. Python, I'm afraid my answer to Mr. Bartell duplicates the one I've already told to his competitor. Sherlock Holmes does not engage in kidnapping.
That man is out to kill me, Mr. Holmes. You won't extend your services to keep me alive?
Sherlock, help him!
Perhaps you'd fare better going to the police. Don't you think so, Mr. Python?
Thank you for your time then, sir. Good night.
Good night, sir.
Sherlock!
Did you notice his eyes, Madison? The pupils were contracted. He's obviously an opium addict and also a potential corpse.
If you believe he's going to be killed, why won't you help him?
I am helping him, Madison, but not in the capacity he desires. I won't keep Chumley out of commission, but I will try and prevent a murder.
Yeah? How?
For now, I must wait for the regulars to report, but I want to send you on an errand.
Errand? Like a coffee run?
I need you to bring back Dr. Watson. I have a feeling that we'll need his medical services before the night is out.
Okay, fine. But I gotta change first.
Agreed. My well-crafted disguise is useless if you repeatedly forget to stay in character.
I wasn't trying for an Oscar. Hey, where did my clothes go?
In order for your clothing to be in my closet, you would have had to have carried them home from the chop house and put them there.
Well, duh.
Which you did not.
What? Yes, I did.
Of course. Why believe me? I only have an unparalleled sense of observation.
Damn it! I left my clothes at the restaurant? Then give me another one of your disguises to wear. I don't want to go around in the latest spring line from the Strung Out on Drugs collection.
Very well. We'll see what best suits you.
And I don't want to be dressed as a prostitute.
That limits all choices, doesn't it?
Fine. But I want to be classy, not Jack the Ripper victim-y. I'd like to get through this story without being disemboweled.
Yes, miss? How might I help you?
Spare me if you can, mister. Me feet hurt something awful, and I ain't had a bite of food all day.
Madison?
You can see through my disguise?
Disguise? I thought you normally dressed like that.
Like a prostitute?
Well...
Honestly, I like the heavy lifting this corset is doing right now. Might want to put this in my regular rotation.
Well, wardrobe discussion aside, may I inquire as to what you're doing here, and at this hour of the night?
Sherlock sent me. He needs you and your medical bag at his place.
My word, is Sherlock all right?
Oh, yeah, totes. He just thinks someone is going to get murdered.
But this person has not yet been murdered.
Hopefully not.
Well, no sense trying to puzzle out Sherlock's motives. I'll get my bag.
Okay, later.
You're not returning with me to Baker Street?
I got one more stop to make in this disguise. Bye!
She's as disguised as a banana in a peel.
Oh, man. I wasn't acting when I said my feet hurt. These Victorian boots aren't made for walking. Now, let's see where I am. Corner of Swandam Lane and Bricknell Street. Found my way back to the opium den. Look at me using a paper map. And my high school geography teacher said my generation wouldn't be able to find our way out of our own bedrooms without GPS. Although, I did get lost in a parking garage once. The security guard had to drive me to my car on his Segway. I ended up renting that rent-a-cop for half an hour. Totally worth it. So dark in here. How am I gonna find him? Harry! Harry! Ow! Somebody really needs to move those stupid things.
Miss. Come lay here with me.
What, you think I'm delivering the prostitute you ordered? This isn't Whoredash.
Who is it that come in?
Damn it! I don't want that dude to see me! Move over, Romeo!
Sharp. You pinched me.
It's called a corset, and be glad you don't have to wear one.
Oh, I can help you with it, love.
Boy, this opium den is just the party house, isn't it?
Ah, welcome. This way.
Okay, he's gone. Hey, Casanova, you're lying on my skirts. Great. Well, I might have just invented the first Victorian miniskirt.
Madison?
Harry? You recognize me in my disguise?
What disguise?
I might need to rethink my wardrobe choices.
Why are you here?
The Chinese dude is coming back! Move over!
Oh, ow, Madison, your hands!
Quiet! All right, he's gone.
Madison, would you mind telling me what you're doing here?
Harry, I can't believe you've become an opium addict. What happened? I thought Petri Wines was giving you another chance.
Sure, if I can buy guano for them. I used to be their spokesman.
So you went from verbally shoveling poop to physically shoveling poop.
Wait, how did you know about...
Come on, Harry, we gotta get you out of here.
No, Madison, if my rival gets the guano commission, then...
You don't know that he'll get it.
And you'll find this humorous. I actually went to Sherlock Holmes for help.
Yeah, I know,
and he wouldn't help me. After all of those episodes I've done with Dr. Watson, prattling on about the adventures. What a crock.
But Harry,
he wouldn't even help me after I told him my rival wants to kill me.
If he doesn't kill you, that opium will. Give me that pipe.
Wait, Madison.
I'm going to save you from yourself and smoke this pipe for you.
Madison, you don't understand.
Whoa, this stuff hits fast.
Welcome, sir. This way.
I'm looking for someone.
I'm trying to tell you...
We gotta get you out of here!
Who do you look for?
Madison! Be quiet!
It's all right. I believe I've found him.
You have searched my house from basement to attic. Why do you not give up?
But my friend came in here half an hour ago. I saw him. And before that, two other men are known to have come in here.
If that is so, then where are they? Three men cannot vanish.
That's just the point, you scoundrel. Out of the way. I'm going to search this hovel again. And I'm not leaving here until I find Mr. Sherlock Holmes.
Dr. Watson?
Madison, great Scott, what are you doing here?
What was the question?
Have you seen Sherlock?
What was the question?
There, you found this girl. You take her.
Come along, Madison. Let's get you back to Baker Street and sobered up. And hopefully we'll find Sherlock returned.
What was the question?
Oh, Dr. Watson. What is it, sir? Oh, my days. Is this Mrs. Watson?
Of course not.
I am a prostitute.
My mistake.
No time to explain it, Mrs. Hudson. Please, Mr. Holmes, is he here?
Aye, sir. Came in half an hour ago. He was carrying some drunken friend of his.
Oh, I could totes go for a drink right now.
I apologize, Mrs. Hudson. It appears both Sherlock and I have brought home two rather ill-mannered guests.
I curtsy, but I'm missing most of my skirt.
So it's quite all right.
I'll take her up to see you.
All right, sir. Good night, sir.
Oh, going upstairs.
Oh, Watson, old chap, there you are. And I see you've located Miss Standish.
Or what remains of her.
I could stand to sit down. Sit down to stand? Up sit to down.
Had a personal encounter with a dreamstick, has she?
More like a nightmare.
Here, my dear, have some of my Turkish coffee. It'll perk you right up.
I'm just gonna pass out on the sofa.
I'm afraid my sofa is already occupied.
Who's that lying there?
Get your bag, Watson. Although, I'm afraid the poor devil's done for.
It's Harry! Harry! Oh, Harry! You have a knife in your chest! Why did you just leave it there? I'll get it for you, Harry!
No, Miss Standish, please!
Oh no, Harry! You sprung a leak! Quick, somebody turn off the water main!
Allow me to tend to the patient.
Okay, here's the knife.
You can put that down.
Oh, Harry! Poor, poor Harry!
Madison, you may reserve your grief for another day. That is not Harry Bartell.
It isn't?
No, this is Wayne Chumley.
Seriously?
Unless your friend grew a full beard in these last few hours.
Wait. This Chumley guy was supposed to be the murderer, not the murderee.
He's still breathing, but he hasn't a chance. I'll try him with an injection of strychnine.
Strychnine? Oh, you're looking to finish him off?
Strychnine is a stimulant, you silly girl.
Strychnine is a poison, you tubby ape.
And so is that substance you smoked tonight.
I was trying to protect Harry.
Now, both of you, I shan't have you arguing while this man is dying.
How did you get his body out of the opium den? I searched the place from top to bottom. I found no trace of any of you.
When I went in, I found the stabbing had already taken place. I'd come disguised as a sailor, so the proprietor then bribed me to smuggle the body out through the secret stairway leading to the wards at the back of the house.
So the stabbing happened while I was in there?
You were in no state to be a useful witness.
What happened to Harry, then?
He must have left before me by the same exit.
Yes, I concur. I was watching the front door the entire time, as you had instructed me, Holmes.
He's trying to say something.
Yes, the injection's beginning to take effect.
Yes, Mr. Chumley, what are you trying to say?
Tell us who stabbed you, sir.
OMG, you know it was Harry.
His lips are moving.
Guano.
He's dead, Holmes.
And his last word was shit.
Yes, but he gave us the clue to the murderer's identity.
Harry?
Back to the limehouse.
Right behind you, Holmes.
We're just gonna leave the body. Okay.
Ah, here we are. This must be the place.
Where are we?
Another opium den?
Yes, I believe that Harry Bartell refrained from smoking earlier on in the night in order to keep his faculties alert for murder.
He didn't smoke because I took the pipe from him.
A true addict would never have allowed you to take his pipe unless he were only pretending to smoke.
No way. You're talking first-degree premeditated murder. Harry would never do that.
Never? Are you sure?
Well, he did try to throw me in front of a streetcar in San Francisco.
Heavens!
And there was that old lady he sort of strangled. But she had a heart condition, so it wasn't all him.
I think we can safely say murder is not out of the realm of possibilities with your Mr. Bartell.
But why this opium den, Holmes?
Not having smoked earlier in the night, an enormous reaction would set in. He'd have to find a den at once, and beyond a question, a different one from that in which the murder was committed.
How do you know he's at this one?
Well, just before you two returned to Baker Street tonight, I had a message from one of my regulars. He tracked Mr. Bartell here after he escaped from the scene of the stabbing.
That was a couple of hours ago. He might have slipped away again.
No, Watson. Tonight he came to drown his senses with the wretched drug. He'll be here. Come on.
You make drowned his senses sound like a bad thing.
Surprising what a £5 note will do, isn't it?
Yes. The proprietor let us bring Mr. Bartell into this private room.
You could have saved your money. That sicko spent the whole time you were talking looking at my legs.
I had intended on asking what became of the disguise I lent you, but I truly did not want to know the answer.
Oh.
Listen to him! Is Harry okay?
That second injection of caffeine should bring him around. He's heavily drugged, but I think it'll work. Manderson, what are you doing?
I want an injection of caffeine. Why should Harry have all the fun?
You've already had several cups of my potent Turkish coffee.
You call that amateur stuff potent? Please. My baby formula was half Red Bull.
Who?
Shh, he's coming too.
Who are you? What do you want?
Remember me, sir. I'm Sherlock Holmes.
Yes, I remember you.
And remember me? Madison?
He remembers you all right.
You're in serious trouble, Mr. Bartell. Very serious trouble.
Trouble? What? What trouble?
Chumley didn't die.
Yes, he did.
Miss Standish, give me your arm.
What? Ow!
That might stop her heart, you know, old fellow.
I was intending on it stopping her mouth.
Woo! Yes, sir! Ha! Wow! I am awake! Woo!
Chumley? What about Chumley?
He was badly wounded, but he is going to live. He's at Baker Street now. He wants to go to the police and give evidence.
Here's some evidence for you. Woo!
For heaven's sakes, put your skirts down.
Mr. Holmes, you've got to get me out of this. Please, I'll pay you anything.
Why did you stab Chumley?
Isn't it obvious? Chumley was going to get the poop, and Harry wanted the poop.
Poop?
Guano concession, Watson. Is that true, Mr. Bartell?
I didn't mean to, but... The knife?
As neat a murder confession as ever I'd heard, Holmes.
Exactly. Come along, Mr. Bartell. I think some night air will be good for you. We'll take you for a nice drive to Scotland Yard.
Not a chance! Come on, Harry! We're out of here!
Wait, what?
Holmes, what do we do? Chase them?
Hardly necessary, Watson.
But they're getting away.
Not at all.
Not at all. Why, they just ran out the door.
Yes, old chap. And into a closet.
The two of them ran into a closet?
Most assuredly. Miss Standish was out of her senses with the caffeine dose I'd given her, causing her to mistake the door we'd arrived through with that of the closet.
Then what happened, Doctor, when Sherlock went to open the door?
Well, that is a most peculiar thing, for you see... When Holmes opened the door, the two had utterly vanished.
Vanished? Where could they have gone?
You okay, Harry?
I think so. What happened? Where are we? What's that sound?
Watson's dogs. We're on his back patio.
Oh my. Nice doggy. What is that smell?
Dead seal. Man, did I get you out of there in the nick of time or what?
But... How?
The freaky deaky.
Science stuff. Right. You've told me.
So, I gotta ask. Did you kill Chumley?
I had intended to that night.
I didn't smoke any of the opium, so I would be alert for when he finally caught up with me. But when he arrived, he still got the upper hand.
So he started it?
I got his knife away from him, and then... But I thought Sherlock said he didn't die.
He was bluffing.
Oh.
Okay, well, that sounds like self-defense to me.
It does? I mean, it was.
I don't see how you could be arrested for it. Sherlock's case is purely circumstantial anyway. You had motivation, sure. But any witnesses were all doped up, and the guy running the place won't talk to the cops or else his business will be shut down.
I guess that's all true.
Sure it's true. It's what Sherlock said at the beginning when he thought Chumley was going to murder you. That an opium den was the perfect place for a murder.
But I didn't get the San Pedro guano concession, so I've lost my last chance with...
Harry, to hell with Petri Wines.
What?
They put you in a position to be killed for poop, Harry. Poop!
Yes, well...
Yes, well, nothing. Come on, Harry.
Where are we going?
I don't know about you, but I'm jonesing for another hit on that opium pipe.
Madison.
Oh, what? Suddenly you're all Johnny on the wagon?
I'm going home, Madison. I have to be up early to read the want ads.
Okay, well, see you same time next year.
How lucky for me.
Of course, Holmes deduced right away that the stabbing had been in self-defense.
Did you ever catch up with Miss Standish or Mr. Bartell?
Sadly, no. And while Mr. Bartell was judged free and clear murder charges, Holmes tells me that after this entire ordeal, Miss Standish is wanted by Scotland Yard for interfering in a police investigation by causing the disappearance of a person of interest.
That sounds serious, Doctor.
It most certainly is. Sherlock will be watching for her reappearance. Pity. Now who will I get to watch my dogs?
The New Adventures of Sherlock Holmes originally premiered in October of 1939. The radio show was called The New Adventures to separate the stories from the original canon of Sir Arthur Conan Doyle stories. One noticeable difference between the tales was that the radio series actively avoided any mention of Sherlock himself being a drug user. Doyle did portray Sherlock as partaking in cocaine, which was in vogue for creatives at the time, and even promoted by Sigmund Freud. Doyle, however, experienced his own father's severe alcoholism, which led him to be committed into an insane asylum. This shaped Doyle's opinion to align with Dr. Watson, who professed that cocaine and opium were a destructive force to the human mind. The radio series, wanting to have a clean hero in a family-friendly setting, did have episodes featuring Sherlock in disguise in opium dens, but he never inhaled.
Hey, everybody, it's Madison. Thank you so much for listening. Don't forget, we have a Patreon! What? Like every other podcast out there? Yes! For only $5 a month, you can get sneak peeks and Madison exclusives. But mostly, you're helping to support our little indie show. Link in the show notes! But I know it's hard to financially support all of your favorite shows. So really, if you could write us a nice review, give us 5 stars, or a shout out on your favorite socials, anything to help get the word out would mean so much. Okay, announcer dude, roll the credits.
Madison on the Air was written and produced by Chrissy Talon Sage with music composition and audio engineering by Jeremy Sage. The role of Madison Standish was played by Chrissy Talon Sage. Albert Garnica appeared as Sherlock Holmes and David Pinion appeared as Harry Bartell. Other actors in the cast were Bran Peacock as Dr. Watson, Kareem Cronfley as Wayne Chumley, Sarah Golding as Mrs. Hudson, Steve Jun as the opium den proprietor, Jerry Kokich as the opium addict, and James C. Taylor as the announcer dude.